Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this time, it is now my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry. You missed me last week.
Yes, we did.
We tried to go live last week. I was in the mountains driving, and we were losing signal, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to tell them to play a repeat. There's no way this is going to work. And I was right. It wouldn't have worked, but I would have loved to have been able to do that because a friend of mine that was with me, I've been trying to get on the show, and I will do it again. That'll all be good. But I had a busy week last week. I was we were just talking about I moved my sister from Clearwater, down by Clearwater, Tampa area, to King, North Carolina, and it was a long drive with a box truck in the rain, and it was dark 10 hours out of the trip. And anyway, we made it in one piece, a lot of prayer for safety, but yeah, I made it. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
and it's always good to get back home.
Yeah,
and you know, I'll tell you something really neat that happened too is this was Pastor Appreciation Month, the whole month of October.
Okay,
and Sunday the church had a lunch for me, mm-hmm. and that was great. Mm-hmm. And something else they did that was really neat. It was kind of odd. Saturday night I was sitting up watching something or other. I don't remember, and a advertisement came on for the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky, the big Ark that the and the things that with that. I was sitting there thinking, you know, I'd love to be able to go to that, to take Shirley to that, and just spend a day or two. And it's hard for us to get away and do that kind of stuff. And anyway, the funny thing was Saturday morning they gave me an envelope and I opened it, and the church had decided it'll be in 2 weekends. We are going there for 2 days. Shirley and I are, and the church is sending us there.
Oh.
So isn't that interesting that I thought about it the night before?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there it was. But I look forward to that. I love that kind of stuff. And I think it'll be pretty cool.
Is it like the history of it, or I mean, and things like
it
that?
It is. Well, you know, they build a life-size
Like a replica or whatever.
Replica.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go through it, and okay. It tells everything. I don't know. I can't say too much till I get there and see, but
well,
I'll have a lot to tell you.
I'll say take a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, I'll have a lot to tell you when I get back. I think it'll be pretty cool. But I look forward to that. And then they also got us a tickets to an Amy Grant concert in the spring.
Oh, that's great.
And
that's
great. Out to dinner and do some stuff. And
good.
And it's kind of every now and then I got to stop and smell the roses a little bit.
That's good.
Because we do get busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, you know, it's a blessing to be in a church where people care about you. And we all care for each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Nice. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? I bet I know something you don't.
What's that?
Today's election day, November election day, and I think on my inside shirt, if I'm not mistaken, let me see in here. My wife's going to kill me for doing this. There we go.
Oh, you
I voted
sticker.
Today.
Right. Okay.
I did vote. There's my vote sticker.
Okay.
It was on my inside shirt. But, I voted today, and I hope everyone else did too. You know, voting's an interesting thing because a lot of people don't bother, and I think that's a huge mistake. Our country was set up so that the people have a voice, and I don't like it when people say, "Oh, it doesn't matter who you vote for," because it does. Now, I will say one thing, that if certain people ever got their way and we went to a popular vote instead of a representative vote through the Electoral College, as far as at least our presidential races go, there's a lot of people that wouldn't have a voice. They would be completely disenfranchised. Unless you lived in the major cities, you wouldn't have a voice, because the population centers are who's going to completely control the presidential elections. And it would take people from small areas, actually like us, and it would your vote wouldn't matter so much, because now the way it's set up, and I think our forefathers were really smart in seeing that ahead of time. They wanted to see everyone have an equal representation, so they took districts and they gave those representatives districts within the states depending on their size and their population, how many they got. And now everybody, you know, obviously a huge state is going to have more representatives than a smaller state, but at least the smaller state has those representatives to use. And so it's hopefully, you know, we'll keep things going the way they were. I think we had some pretty smart guys that were founders of this country. We've been the greatest nation in the history of the world. And I truly believe that. And I believe God's hand had been on this nation through it. And I will say that once again for those of you that don't like to hear it. I believe that America is the greatest nation that's ever been in the world. And I'm going to give you a few things about that to mull over your mind. And by the way, anybody ever wants to call in and give me a hard time, it is, we are at what?
740-383-9944.
740-383-9940. I just ask you to keep it clean. I'm always open to debate, but keep it decent and fair. But anyway, no, you look at this country, and, you know, where else in the world can you start from nothing and with hard work and perseverance be something? You know what I mean? Yeah. So many people that people look at and say, oh, look at that rich guy. And they don't realize how maybe they got there. Now, sure, there is a lot of people that have a silver spoon in their mouth, so to speak, but there's a lot of people that don't. There was just a show on television. I can't think of the name of it. I don't know if you watched it. It was on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. It was this guy that is a multimillionaire, and he had a show where he would have to make a company that was worth $1 million in 90 days and start with nothing. And they dropped him off in Pennsylvania. Where was it? I forget what city it was in Pennsylvania. But anyway, he had his pickup truck and $100 and an older pickup truck and $100. He was not allowed to use his credit. He was not allowed to use his real name or any of his contacts. And he had to make himself a millionaire within 90 days. Mm. And I'm thinking he was just a couple hundred thousand shy of it, you know, and he showed how you can do that. And the reason he wanted to show people that was because he literally came from nothing. If I remember the right, the story that not only he come from nothing, but his girlfriend in high school, she got pregnant when they were like sophomores or something, and raised his family, and he literally started from the bottom, working hard, and you know, we're in a country that still you can still do that. We're also in a country where we're still free to worship, and I pray that we hang on to that. I know there's a real assault right now against religion, and it's not a good thing. You know, we need our religious freedom and our protections. I can, you know, Sunday morning, it was just such a blessing to be able to be in church and know that we have the freedom to be there and do that. I wish more people would take advantage of it and realize that, you know, freedom's not appreciated, become freedom's lost. And we have to be very careful about that. If someone, you know, doesn't want to believe in God, that is their prerogative. And I can't force anyone to believe in God. I share the God that I love and know because I want other people to know him too. And that's why. It's not for a financial gain. It's not for to beat someone over the head with it. It is the fact that, you know, I want you to know what I know. And I want you to know it because, you know, God puts this in our heart, if we know him through Jesus Christ, to care about other people. That's why we do it. So, but anyway, you know, we have that great freedom to be able to do that. We're also, a lot of people don't understand, we are the most philanthropic nation in the world. Philanthropy is in this country, and there's no country in the world ever even close to outpacing the United States in helping people in worldwide disasters. We're the first people in, and we give the most. We always do. And another thing most people don't, because I've mentioned this on the show before, is that the churches in the United States of America give more than the government or anyone else does to disasters. They're one of the first people in. And I don't know that people know all that stuff, but we're a great people. If we got problems, you better believe we do. We got a lot of people testing our mettle right now, and things that we need to hang on to that they're trying to destroy. I don't know why it is that people that so easily can take advantage of good things don't realize that they need to support those good things to keep from losing them. People have so often people think, oh, you know, that's never going to be taken away. We're never going to lose that right. You know, the money's never going to stop. Well, why isn't it going to stop? You know, and, you know, we have a lot of that going on today. Do you know this is the first, the millennial generation is the first generation in America to not know real hardship. Now, that's not an across-the-board statement, but in general, has not gone through a Great Depression or a time when there was literally nothing. They've had things, and you know, they've been able to eat, they've been able to get an education, they've been able to get clothes. And I would encourage anyone out there that if you know of someone that can't get those things, please help those kids out. Please help those people out. Just because something's available doesn't mean that someone's giving them the vehicle to get to it. Does that make any sense? And by vehicle, I don't necessarily mean tires and wheels. I mean the way to get to it. There's things that are available that people that really need help don't know how to get. And, you know, there's food programs available to feed our children. But if mom and dad don't go pick up the food, if mom and dad don't do whatever, I mean, what are the kids going to do? Are they going to go get it? They don't know where it is. And that's why it's so important. You know, we do the backpack program at our school. And we're like over 270 backpacks that go home on the weekends now in our local school. And we do that so those kids have something. Because you don't know. And you know, they're not going to tell. That's the hardest part, is they're not going to tell. You know, even though sometimes a lot of these kids or situations can sometimes be sketchy, they're not going to talk about it, because as sketchy as it is, it's the best they've got, and they don't want to lose what little bit of security they have. It's hard for you and I, Terry, to imagine feeling security in a home where maybe you're even abused. But if that's all you got, that's all the security you have, and you're afraid of the unknown. Sometimes you've been threatened in the unknown, and kids won't speak up. I've said this so many times on this show about my heart for young people and children. It breaks. It's hard to say things sometimes to get people rattled a little bit. I made a post here a couple weeks ago, and it was real interesting, the different responses I got about that. The post came from the bottom of my heart. It was when I was down in Florida. I was just sitting there, and something struck me one day, and I got to thinking about it. I probably got a phone call about a kid. I get so many, but I'm sure that's probably what prompted it. But I said, you know, we need to reach out to these kids. You know, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such as theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to realize that. We need to realize the importance that our Lord put on children. You know, even what about the one, anyone that offends one of these little ones and keeps them from me, it is better that a millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the bottom of the sea. We don't think of that one too often, do we, huh? But you know, the truth is, these kids, it's just a different, people talk about how years ago everything was hush hush in the home and all this stuff that went on. Well, it's no better now. The difference is now it's out in the open and no one's doing anything about it.
It's the same result, but just...
Yeah, well, actually, it's kind of gotten a lot worse because of the destabilization of the family. I mean, if you want to destroy a country, destabilize the family. And that's what's been happening. Our families are destabilized. People don't stay in relationships very long. You know, the minute it hits a hard part, that rocky point, they just get out. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, it's so important to plug your family in to church. A good Bible-believing church is going to help them grow as a family, and they're not going to get the wrong advice. So many times when families get in crisis, people take advice from the wrong people. Somebody, you know, a lady will go to talk to a friend that's already been divorced three times and hates men. Or a guy will go talk to a guy, one of his best buddies that just went through a hard divorce. Those are the wrong people to talk to. Talk to people that are going to encourage you and teach you and help you to grow. And, you know, you can find that in the church. But, you know, I look at these kids and these what they're going through today. You know, we got, can you imagine Terry laying in bed at night? and waiting up here in the door bang, or the car shut off and the door bang, and you don't know who mom or dad's bringing in to spend the night, and you're scared to death, or are they going to come in my room in the middle of the night after mom or dad's asleep? You know, you just don't know. And it happens so much. These kids live in fear that nobody knows about. This is why I don't like to see kids being picked on at school. You don't know what that kid's going home to every day. You really don't. Sometimes there's a reason these kids act the way they do, or they act out, or their discipline issues. There's things going on that kids need to be no part of. Between drug use, physical abuse, verbal abuse. How many times have I heard, and I should never hear this, but somebody in a store or walking down the street or somewhere else say, come here, you little blankety blank, and you worthless piece of blankety blank of this. You know, and here's this little kid. Can you imagine being, how would you like to be told you're worthless when you're a child? I don't know. Maybe that's a comment. I never was. I know that I got in trouble when I was bad and I got punished. But I never, ever remember my parents telling me that I was worthless or you know, you were a mistake. How's that one? Or you know, I regret the day you were born. These kids hear this stuff all the time. And then we wonder why they turn to drugs and they don't care. You know, life's not important to them. They don't hear about Jesus anymore, so they don't have any hope. They don't have a God. And it's a tough place to be. But with all that being said, this is not an American problem. This is a worldwide problem. We have a worldwide problem where young people are sold into slavery. We're just now seeing the United States. You know, people are talking about, you know, the human trafficking and the sex trafficking. It's horrible, and we're seeing it here in the States now more than – it's always been around, but just to an extent. But, you know, there's people in countries around this world that have lived with that from the get-go. What do you do? What do you do if you're
– What is a common occurrence to them – like, we can't even fathom that.
We can't even fathom that.
You know, I mean, I read something the other day, and I forgive me, I don't know what country, but I think there was some country where there was they were marrying off like 9 and 10 and 11-year-olds. And
That is most of the Muslim countries. I mean, it really is. I mean, and I'm not trashing Muslims. I'm just saying that's part of what they do.
Yeah.
I just read an article today about a lady, a professor, that was explaining why it's okay to have relationships with a child. And I'm like, are you people nuts? I mean, this is not good stuff. And we need to realize how blessed we are to have the United States of America and where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that same time, you know, there's only one way to keep it that way, and that's to go to the polls and vote. And we have to understand. Another thing, too, is, you know, understanding issues. We need to understand issues. Don't just go by what they tell you on television. These politicians tell you anything to get a vote. And 99.999% of the time, it doesn't get followed through with. They're just getting votes. You know, the most racially divided people in the world can be lovers of race when they need a vote. And the most, you know, it's just on and on it goes. You know, one thing that bothers me in all the things I've seen with the local elections coming up, with the I'm so tired. I wish they weren't already doing the presidential stuff, but they are. You know, with everything I've seen, I don't see anyone out there saying anything about we need to protect our children. I don't see it. I see people talking about nicer neighborhoods. I see people talking about growth and expansion and looking to the future. Well, guess what, folks? These kids are our future, and we need to protect them. We need to make a safe place for them. I remember a politician that I talked to one time about putting out a shelter for kids that were waiting on the bus, because mom and dad went to work. They had to go wait on the bus. Some of these kids were tiny elementary kids. It'd be storming outside or blowing ice. These kids, you know, when they got rid of the school in town, there was no place for them to stand. None at all. And I'm seeing this, and, you know, I even stopped a couple times and had kids get in my car, and I realized that's not the safest thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To right. In this day and age.
Right.
So I go to this politician who lives right there. He saw it all the time. I said, man, someone else will build it. Just get permission. You know what the comeback was on that? Well, they did. He didn't do it. He said he was going to, and he didn't. But the argument was, all that's going to do is provide a place for kids to do stuff they shouldn't when they're not in school. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Did this guy have not any brains at all?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. We have dugouts right at the ballpark. If kids want to do something they shouldn't be doing, they're not going to stand on the side of the street in a three-sided structure and do it. They're going to go to those dugouts in the ballpark where they're – you see what
yeah,
I mean?
Where that
what,
gonna,
you know, but my yeah. point is, you know, where's the care for the children?
Yeah.
You know, where is that? We need more of it. It always seems to be geared towards adults.
Yeah.
And I know, don't get me, I know there's people that care. I know that we had on the ballot here, we had the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities was asking for a levy. And I have a hard time not supporting that when it comes up. We are getting more and more and more developmentally disabled kids because of our drug culture, and it's increasing at an alarming rate. And what are we going to do with those kids? They're kids too. You know, they're kids that are going to struggle most of their life, if not all of their life. And we need to do something about them if we really love them. Those are what the Bible calls the least of these that we're to take care of. And we need to be taking care of and thinking about those children. It's hard for them. Life's hard for them, and it's going to be hard for them. I think that another thing we need to do in this country more of, because it has always been such a great country, is I think that there needs to be much harsher penalties for child abuse. And I know that I'm not going to win a lot of fans in saying this one either, but I'm sorry if you're an addict, your kids don't need to be in your house. They don't need to be. Because I've seen the abuse too much. I've seen the kids that, A, they don't get what they need because, you know, when you talk to someone who's addicted to heroin, they will tell you, and they're honest, they will say that when they wake up in the morning, the first thing that comes to their mind is, before anything else, the most important thing on their plate is, where am I going to get high today? How am I going to get my fix? I got to get it, okay? Okay, so you've got kids in your house now. I tap on that thing, it shows up on there. Anyway, you got kids in your house. Maybe they need something for school. Maybe they don't have clean underwear. Maybe they don't have any food. Maybe they don't have any socks. Maybe there's something they were supposed to take to school today. But the main thing on your mind is, where am I going to get a fix? And it's time for these kids to get on the bus. Will you please tell me why those kids need to be in your house? I don't think they do. Now, the problem is we also have a shortage of foster parents. I just got a letter yesterday at the church from the county children's services about, you know, the need for more foster parents.
I understand the safety for the safety of the children, but why do they make foster parent? Why do they make it so hard to become a foster parent?
I think it's because of the caliber of people that you'd get if you didn't. And I've been unfortunately seen.
I mean, like I say, I understand the safety.
I've seen the dark side of that too.
Yeah.
And most kids in long-term foster care have seen the dark side.
Okay.
Of that. You have to make sure that they're not just doing it for good income.
Right. Right.
Because it's
right.
a decent income.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And we have foster parents out there that take great care of the kids, that care about them, try to give them the best upbringing and the best home life they can in maybe the brief time that they have them. And we have other foster parents that are out there that are making a paycheck and really treating the kids badly. And then you've got somebody you have someone that's running the agencies that have to decide who they are Do they have enough manpower to check on them? You know, all those kind of things involved. So what they do is they do some pretty heavy screening, and then they also do some you know, courses and things that you go through, and it's a huge responsibility. And you know, a lot of these kids coming into the home today, you know, it's not easy. I mean, there's a safety factor of what these kids may bring into the home, what they may teach your other kids if you have them. There's just so many factors, but it doesn't mean that we can't love them and can't help them. You know, one of the things they did, I think that children's homes have always been a part of our culture, and there's some kids in children's homes. I think that we need to make it a better culture. And what I mean by that is have more dorm parents. Have the kids in children's homes not be the kids that are going to JDC and getting in trouble all the time, but a place where you can actually have people that care about you, that love you, that give you a hug once in a while. You know, we live in a society where no one can hug each other anymore. They might have a problem. And kids need hug. They need an embrace. And, you know, as long as I'm in front of somebody else to see me do it, I'll hug kids all day long, and I'm not going to stop doing it because they need it. Just like I hug elderly people, and I'm a hugger anyway. I hug everybody. But people need it. They need that. And I'm not going to hug people. I'm not going to hug kids out somewhere where, you know, that's not safe. It's not smart. But, you know, if I'm standing there with you, Terry, and three other people, and a kid comes up to give me a hug, I'm hugging them back.
Right.
You know, and that should be the, you know, that's, should just be, we're missing that. We're missing something there. Kids are getting this detached syndrome where they don't care about anyone, or, yeah, it's just, we got to get away from that. Another thing, you know, a lot of people, big complaint you get from Christians all the time is, there's no kids in church anymore. You know, my answer to that is, go get them.
Bring them.
Bring them. Go find them and go get them. Yeah. Talk to your kids. Hey, do you have any friends that you might like to come to church if they had a way there? Well, yeah. Square with mom. Go pick them up. Bring them to church. Show them you care.
Invite them. Yeah.
Invite them. Yeah. You know, Team Kid starts tonight. We're kicking it off tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Tonight starts off.
Okay.
We'll have Team Kid tonight, and then two every other Tuesday starting tonight.
You know, Pastor, though, I remember when I was younger, and of course this might be a thing of the times too, or when maybe they still do it too, but we were those kids that we didn't have a way. And I remember that the times we did went, there was always a van or something from the church, you know, that was there to pick us up.
Right.
And they took kids in our neighborhood, every kid, it seemed like.
Yeah, that was big.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm telling my age here.
Do you want me to tell you what happened with that?
Went by the wayside, man. You know.
The new emergent church decided that bus ministries don't work.
Okay.
They just cost a lot of money and don't work.
And
I say fooey on that.
Yeah.
I say they do work. And I say that, you know, you have to make that. They don't. Here's the thing. You don't have to have a bus, but you better have people willing to pick up kids as if there was one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, you got to do it. I mean,
yeah, I just remember every Sunday at 7:30 in the morning, man. I mean, pardon the pun, but religiously, boy, that thing was.
Well, I hate to say it, but our focus has changed. Ministry has become so expensive.
Yeah.
With the multiple pastors, with the high salaries, mm-hmm. with everything that goes with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to send three buses out, okay? I got the expense of those buses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get 60 kids on each bus. Now I just have the wear and tear of my building and the teachers that need to teach. 180 kids, okay? They just flooded my church.
Mm.
Now, they come in and they bring their problems. They bring everything that comes with them. And you know what they don't bring? They don't bring any money.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So the thought process in many cases is, you know, let's make it more friendly for the adults. We'll attract people in, and they'll bring the kids. And I don't buy any of that. That is not the way Jesus worked.
It seems like that's kind of going around. You're not still getting to the root of the, you know, of the problem.
No.
Which is trying to get kids there.
I've got a friend that he's in ministry today, and he used to be one of the he used to be in our association in charge of ministry outreach and children's ministry, and he came from a church that he had, his church had grown pretty rapidly over a short period of time. And it had all been done through children's ministries. And so he went into the state office. They asked him to come there to serve in the state office. And he was there a few years. And guess what he did? He went back out to another church again because he didn't want to be in the state office. He wanted to be out there growing a church. Mm. And he did it, and it's done through children. And, you know, many times you reach the parents through the children. Yeah. But, you know, whether you can or not, the bottom line is these kids need Jesus. And if Jesus was willing to say, what are you talking about? These kids are bugging me. Come over here. You know, don't send these kids away from me. Shouldn't we be doing the same thing? So what if it costs money? So what if they don't bring a dime into the church? I do not like, look, we have to have money to keep the church going. That's true. That's true. But we don't have to be focused on money. And I think that when we're focused on money, we lose the whole point. Show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus stayed focused on money. It never happened. Giving is supposed to be something that comes from your heart, right? Mm-hmm. And I just, I'm going to get on a subject that I'm going to make. I'm just not. Money, we have never been a money-centric church. Several years ago, I used to be so concerned whether people were going to come and be able to support the church because we were a small work just starting. And one day, the Lord, through a series of events, laid it on my heart to share with the congregation that we're never going to pray for people to come with means again. Lord, bring anyone in the door that needs you. And from that day forward, we have been fine. And we haven't needed. We haven't been in a position where how are we going to pay the bills this month? Now, the bottom line is, I also firmly believe in simplicity, and I don't believe in spending a lot of money. So I don't believe in high pastor salaries.
Right.
You know, that to me, in my heart, that's money taken away from other important things that need to go out. Now, granted, do I need to eat? Of course I do.
Right.
But you know, sometimes. I read a book one time that was written about 100 years ago, and it's called The Pastor, and it talks about how a pastor should live, how he should act in the church, ministerial ethics, all those kind of things. And it was a really old book, but the neat thing about it is that it's so relevant, everything about it. And in it said, you know, as far as a pastor goes, that the pastor should probably make the median income of his church. Okay, so if you got a church where the average income is $50,000, then maybe the pastor needs to make $50,000. Would work well. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it kind of makes a little bit of sense to me. I'm not gonna see part of the problem with me in our church. I don't know what anyone makes. I don't know what anyone gives either. I don't want to know what they give. My job is to be their shepherd. Let them worry about what they make and what they give. And I know that's a foreign concept to a lot of people, but I don't want people's giving or lack of giving to cloud my judgment as a shepherd of the flock.
Right.
Or to even have that be a possibility of happening.
Yeah.
And it's true, you know, it can happen. I've talked to people where it's happened, and I need to focus on people's lives and ministry. You're trying to say something, Gary.
Well, no, but I mean, going back to what you were saying, though, about the kids. Now, this is just a random kind of thought that I had. Okay, let's say that the church is flooded with kids.
Oh.
Okay, and they go home. And the first thing mom and dad says, did you have a good time? Well, yeah, but the pastor talked about, you know, he'd like to do a pizza night, let's say, or something. Wouldn't them, by saying that, wouldn't that make a parent maybe want to, you know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is the easiest way to the parents would be, obviously, through the kids. And then if you
in a
needed,
lot of cases.
If you needed people to like, support, you know, that would be a way to, you know, because maybe then they call you and say, hey, what can I do to, you know.
And they do. You know, we've reached a lot of parents through kids.
But I don't think shunning them, obviously, is the way to go.
No, not at all. No. Well, you don't want to get in a place where everybody thinks, well, that's not for me, obviously.
And I'm not saying that they, you know, that you were in that situation. I'm just saying, you know, that it, maybe there's a project or something that you and you know, you just you kind of random, you know, you want to get playground equipment or something, and you just kind of, you know, the kids, oh, I wish we had a merry-go-round or something, and you know or something. And
you know, Terry, we have people that willingly that don't go to our church give to the programs because of the kids.
That's great.
And that's why they give to the programs, because they want to do something. Yes, they see what's going on, and they want to do something. And when they see you doing something, they want to help do something. And that's kind of where you're going.
That's
with
what
that,
I'm saying. Yeah. In a kind of a roundabout. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, not just obviously your church, but any church. If you're at that point to where you think you're kind of, you know, wouldn't you? I mean, you would obviously want those kids to integrate your church, because it's only going to help you in the long run.
You know what? Help it or not, I just want to integrate them anyway.
Well, I mean, you want to turn them on, you know, you're going to turn them on to God, you know, or whatever. But the second thing is, like I say, there's power in numbers.
There can be.
You know, so they're going to bring, which, you know, then maybe.
Here's the thing. I believe that, and I believe the numbers are so important because they're actually coming in. But at the same time, I don't want it ever to become about dollars and cents.
No,
now,
no,
a good
no,
bean
no.
counter will tell you, and we've got a few of those in the church too, and that's good. We need good bean counters, right?
Yeah.
We'll tell you, hey, look, Pastor, that's all great, but we still got to keep the doors open.
Yeah.
And we still have to be good stewards of what God gives us. And we do have to be. But all I'm saying is that we should trust God for the increase.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying that if we have $6,000 in the bank that we immediately go out and spend 10 and just hope that it shows
exactly.
up the next day.
Right.
You know,
right,
that's not what I'm talking about. But I also wonder, too, about churches that, and I'm not going to judge any other churches on this, but I know from our perspective, as long as we're meeting our obligations every month, savings isn't a huge thing with us, because God has always provided that income without us worrying about a stockpile back here for hard times. Hey, look, if we hit hard times, if God wants us in ministry, we're going to be there. He's going to provide for it. If we need to cut back in some area, then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. But we're not going to hoard money. I've seen too many churches hoard money. You know what happens? They end up with their doors closed because they're not trusting God for the increase. God's not going to honor that. He wants us in our lives and every part of our life to trust Him. And that mainly, you know, that really goes for the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trust God with what, you know, to take on the attitude of well, you know, I've got to take care of this stuff because God might not have the money for us. You know, get that off your mind. You know, it's not doing any good. Reach out to these kids. Love these little kids. Oh, my, they're great. I love kids, and it's just, how can people not love kids? Huh? I mean, look at them. You realize that every part of their life is subject to what you're going to do to them or for them or with them, right? And most of the time, the result of how they turn out is because what you did to them, for them, or with them. So get your act together and do the right thing to them, the right things for them, and the right things with them. It's a pretty simple process. You just got to be willing to care. And we need to have more of that. We've always cared about the children in our church, and it's just something that, I don't know, it's just God laid it on my heart, you know, and He's laid it on a lot of other people's hearts. I know the lady that's doing our team kid tonight, the lady who's running it, man, they're faithful. I don't know how they do it. Some of these kids are not well behaved. and some of them don't want to listen, and yet they have their own families too. They got their own kids. We've got one lady there that she never misses working at Team Kid, and she's raising 4 grandchildren.
Wow.
She loves them dearly, and she never complains about it. And here she is helping out at Team Kid with other people's kids. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Praise God for her.
Yeah.
And of course, tonight starts Pizza with the Pastor, too.
I was going to say that.
And I was told tonight that some of my boys are working at the Board of Elections, and and I've got mostly girls tonight, and one new boy that's coming. I don't know how that'll go. We'll have to see. But, you know, they're good kids, and we talk about what's ever important. Wow, we're about out of time, yeah. Mr. Terry.
Yeah.
What happened?
Do they have, I mean, those type of things, do you get some pretty intriguing conversations?
I do.
Yeah.
Especially when things pop up at school like situations, and they want to talk about.
I mean, they ask you advice how to handle them and things like
that. They do.
That's great.
They do.
Great.
And they talk about, you know, what Pastor, what's the Bible say about it? Well, let's look it up and find it. Let's talk about it that way.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
You know, or, you know, a lot of it is, I usually start off by going around the table and ask them how their day was, and pop up a question like, you know, what's your favorite thing you did this week? Or what's one nice thing you did for a friend or said to a friend? Or what one thing this week made you so mad that you were just ready to snap? And, you know, do those kind of icebreaker things. And it gets conversations going. And hopefully, you know, they listen. You lead them in the right way. And you trust God to tell them what they need to know.
Yeah, yeah. That's nice.
But, yeah, we'll be running this all the way till baseball season hits. Mm. Once baseball season hits, we have no time. I mean, it goes flat.
Yeah.
And so from now all the way through spring, and it'll be, like I said, it starts tonight, so put on your calendars every other Tuesday, and so twice a month. It's at 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and that goes for Team Kid, which are ages 3 all the way through 12, and then I take the ones that are 13 and up, and we have what's called Pizza with Pastor, which is they grill me for a while, so but it's all good, and you know, it's a real blessing too. We had a great time, by the way. We just got a minute left. We had a great time with Trick or Treat too. We handed out a lot of stuff.
And, awesome.
This year we did. Well, this year we've always done hot dogs and stuff, but this year we just did donuts and cider and hot chocolate and coffee and candy and some other literature, and we had a good turnout. But hey, listen, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker once again. I'm at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service time, Sunday school is at 9:30. Worship service are 10:30. We have midweek service. We have programs for the kids. Love to have you come. Call me at the church, 740-494-2222. And you can also reach us at prospectccf.com. Now, I'll tell you, if you call me and you don't catch anyone in, sometimes later afternoon there's not anyone in. But if you call and don't leave a message, I always return my calls. And be glad to talk to anyone and be there for you. Whether you are a member of a church or not, if you need someone to talk to, trust me, I'll be more than happy to accommodate you in any way that I can. And God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you again on next week. And hey, if you get this, share it with your friends. You know, you can take this.
I was going to ask too, if they have any questions, can they post them on Facebook? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your your site or
Pastor Spot or Community Christian Fellowship SBC, one of the two.
Okay.
You put them on either site, and I'll be glad to answer them or answer you, or you can message me or whatever.
Okay.
Hey, God bless you guys. Have a good one. Love you all.
Take care, everybody.
WWGH Radio 106.